Welcome, everyone, to the AGD podcast series. I'm your host, Dr. Wes Blakeslee. This month, we explore a new paradigm called the third era of medicine in the dental setting, a very fascinating topic and one which is very special to me personally. What this is basically is the process by which we as dentists lead our valued patients into a more healthy lifestyle and all the many benefits they derive from this. Our guest today to take us on this journey is Danny Bobrow, president and founder of AIM Dental Marketing, located in the Chicago area. Danny, great to have you with us this morning.
It's a pleasure, Wes. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
This is a great topic. I mentioned it's very special to me. I'm married with three children, and we made an effort about 5 years ago to really embrace a healthy lifestyle, and by that I mean good diet and exercise. And I think this has great value not only for our patients but for our team members. I guess the logical first question, Danny, would really be, what do you mean by the third era of medicine, and how did you come personally to embrace this model?
Sure. Well, Wes, the third era of medicine is a mindset in which healthcare providers recognize that their patients are really best served when they help them empower their patients to practice habits of health that actually prevent illness before it ever manifests, as opposed to living in really what the second era is characterized by, and unfortunately what most health providers are practicing to this day, which is a reactive model where we wait till illnesses, often end stage symptoms such as periodontal disease, you know, serious bleeding or a cardiac event manifest before we respond. And in many cases, as you know, in the case of heart attack, it's often too late. Most patients that are diagnosed or that have a heart attack, a cardiac event, were they tested the day before, would have tested as normal. And so there's something wrong with that model, especially when there are protocols that exist for identifying risk factors well in advance of these end-stage manifestations. And more importantly, there are tools and protocols to help prevent them from manifesting in the first place.
Okay. How did you get into this? What was your start, your launch point for this?
My business, which was really committed to and continues to be largely committed to helping grow dental practices, was started in 1989. And I quickly became committed to really helping my patients employ what I then called a patient-centered practice. Being a human being and a patient myself, I experienced the wide range of quality of care that one receives. And often health providers, really through no fault of their own, it's just a function of training and specialization, are practicing or victims of the adage that when one only has a hammer, every problem is a nail. And so part of my commitment was to helping empower practitioners to employ a collaborative approach, because maximizing patient value, fortunately, really represents a two-sided coin. When the practice offers a high level of care and services that benefit the patient, the monetary value to the practice, of course, is maximized, the per-patient value. But at the same time, and it's unavoidable, that the patient values the practice that much more, because you're delivering actual, tangible, and enhanced care that they, from which they benefit. About 3 years ago, well, actually exactly in October of 2010, I came together with some like-minded professionals and founded an organization called the American Academy for Oral Systemic Health. And that really, I think, increased the trajectory in this direction and really stopped calling it a practice, patient-centered practice, and really referred to it as an oral systemic practice, where mastery and practicing that model entails mastery of three C's, as I call them. Three C's are collaborative, clinical, and communication. And collaboration has to do with working with other health providers, employing a collaborative approach to the care of your patient. Communication is about the skills to encourage various publics, be they your community, your current patient base, or your prospective patients, to value and accept the recommendations. And the I think I mentioned collaborative and communication. I've actually done them out of order. And the clinical, of course, is the meat of the matter. Having the protocols, the screening tools, and the other, the mindset as well as the delivery means to help your patients achieve optimal health. Once we founded this organization, AAOSH, we became sister organizations with a group called the American Academy of Private Physicians, which is a group of MDs that are committed to enhancing their level of care, their third-era medical model, which means really becoming independent of insurance, third-party reimbursement. And their management, they invited me in to speak because, as you know, I speak also about mastery of the art of first impressions, which is part of the communication model, how to connect with first-time telephone callers to encourage them to value your unique offering. And while I was speaking to the group, the management introduced me to this health coaching model, and it really filled a void in my offering because, as you know, I'm very much about encouraging my clients to, as I like to say, lead by example, because that obviously helps with your credibility. When you, as you do, and your children, your family, practice what you preach, people are likely to follow your recommendations, and that's, to make a long story short, relatively short, how I came to learn about and embrace this specific model.
Danny, I'm starting to, you know, kind of get it about empowering our patients to create health in their lives. I guess the question is, if I sign on to this, what's my blueprint? What's my schematic? How do I go to the office Tuesday morning and get this thing going?
That's obviously where the rubber meets the road. The first thing is to take a look at your own health choices, and those of your team. Because as I mentioned, it's, I think, vital that we lead by example, not only because it sets an example, but by practicing these habits of health, as I call them, you are also a firm believer because you've proven to yourself that this can work. And really, so the first thing is to assess your own choices. And we have profiles that we can share where people are asked to evaluate what choices they're making that are either leading them toward or away from health. And I think most people, and this is part of the obesogenic society is, in which we live, not only are people confronted with really poor health choices, but owing to marketing and the unfortunate fact that the food industry really is more concerned with maximizing profit than they are maximizing health, many people are not even aware of the choices that they're making and that they have preferable choices. So that's the first step. The next step is to really immerse yourself in the science of health coaching, and it's really the major component of that science is more psychology than nutrition, honestly, because that's what really motivates people or won't. People are often preoccupied with the how before they get their why, or what we call intrinsic motivation. And the good news is that anybody that made it through dental school is going to find this an incredibly simple protocol to add to their offering. In fact, I sometimes think that some health professionals, dentists and doctors, look at this, and if they don't state the concern, I think they think it, which is, I went and spent several years and went into debt, tens of thousands of dollars, to be referred to as a doctor and considered a health professional, and now you're offering me a tool that anybody could offer. Is this really something I should be offering? And my answer is a respectful, absolutely. You are still a highly respected health professional, and I believe that this simply provides you with a way to expand your offering to a point where your patients will just love you and become walking billboards. And when they present to their physician, who has been for maybe 20 years telling them to move more and eat less and watched them gain 3 to 5 pounds on average a year, and all of a sudden they're the picture of health, the physicians are going to take notice, and they're going to want to find out how this person did it. And when the person says, my hygienist did it, or my dental office did it, there is a wonderful entree to have a discussion about other ways in which you can collaborate. And that's why I say this is one of this health coaching model is one of the only methods we have found that maximizes all of the three C's of oral systemic health. It helps grow your referral network, so that's the collaborative component. It is absolutely clinical in that you're providing a complete series of skills to help your patients achieve health by first and foremost achieving a healthy weight. And the skills that are part of the health coaching model will show you how to communicate. Essentially, when you master this model, you will master case presentation in general, because it's all about asking the right questions in the right way at the right time.
Alrighty, and you obviously have the toolkit or the modules to do this.
We do.
Yeah, okay, that's important. In our discussion for the podcast, we talked about three phases: healthy, non-sick, and sick. I'd like you to explain exactly what you mean by this.
Sure, and this is a really important distinction, because many people go through life thinking they're healthy. Now, we're all, by and large, born healthy, and historically, we remained quite healthy until shortly before death, and then we just dropped into illness and left this earth. And what has happened is that we are more and more quickly falling out of healthy status into non-sick status. And non-sick status means simply that we are on the road to illness, but the symptoms have yet to manifest. And an analogy that I often share is that even an animal will learn not to touch a live wire more than once. Why? Because they're immediately shocked. The consequences are instantaneous. The health choices that people make in terms of diet, exercise, proportions of food, types of food, frequency of meals, etc., as well as sleep and consumption of water and stress management, they're all more akin to cranking a generator, where the charge is building over time. And it's not a question of whether, but when you're going to get zapped. And so if the response were immediate after we ate that cheeseburger, we probably wouldn't eat it. Unfortunately, those consequences are down the road. And that's what we mean by non-sick. You know, people say, well, what do you mean? I'm fine. You may appear fine, but that doesn't mean that you're on the path of wellness. I hope you are, but you may not be.
We don't eat cheeseburgers, Sandy. We eat turkey burgers.
Well, very good. And by the way, and this is an important distinction, because I think a lot of people that know they would benefit from health look at this and say, you know, are you asking me to get religion? Are you asking me to become orthodox, to completely change my lifestyle? And really achieving ultra health, as we call it, is a six-stage process, where the first two phases are achieving a healthy weight. Once you get to a healthy weight and we can transition you, go through a transition, which is the third phase, into maintenance, and then on to optimal and ultra health, as you transition, you can eat lobster with butter sauce if you want. You just don't want to eat it all the time. So you can have your little guilty indulgences from time to time. The key is that by the time you do that, number one, you're going to appreciate it more the few times you do it, because it's going to be special. And even more interesting is you're not even going to want it. I can tell you that as I modified my nutrition and my consumption, I don't even see the fast food restaurants when I drive by. They're not even an option. They don't enter my radar. Occasionally, I'll get some sweet potato fries, right? And very occasionally, I'll get a hamburger. But usually, I don't even want it, because my addiction to and craving for salt, sweet, and fat, if not gone, are greatly reduced. Because those are indeed addictions. And the more you consume, the more you want.
Absolutely. Danny, let's talk about obesity. Geez, everywhere we turn, there are more and more overweight, significantly overweight people. What are some of the causes of obesity? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Sure. And it is a growing problem, unfortunately. It literally is. And I mentioned a little bit about the obesogenic society. That's a large part of the explanation, Wes, but it's also just physiological. You know, 10,000 years ago, when we were running around the forest or the desert, we didn't know where our next meal was coming from. And so we're actually genetically wired to binge, to eat everything we can in sight. And we're wired to store it as fat, to store the energy. But when you remove the energy, the nutrient-rich with energy-dense foods, and you replace the hunting-gathering lifestyle with a sedentary lifestyle, that's a recipe for obesity. And the content of the food now, the high fructose corn syrup, the overeating of carbohydrates, basically fed by bad information from no less an authority than the government, means that people, as I mentioned earlier, don't even know that they're not eating healthy. They think a pasta meal is good for them. Well, it can be in the right portions, in the right proportions, but when people are getting out of bed, taking the elevator to their car, driving to work, taking the elevator to their office, and then sitting in a chair all day, I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to understand that that's a recipe for obesity. And it is literally bankrupting our country, and not just our healthcare system, because once healthcare costs exceed a certain point, jobs have got to get exported, and then we lose our industrial base, which we're already losing. So this is really a crisis, and each dental practice, owing to its relationship with its patients and the frequency with which they see their patients, is uniquely situated, I think, to make to put a dent in that one patient at a time. And so it's troubling, but it's also an exciting opportunity.
Danny, let's stay on this for a minute. Explain to us, please, how obesity is the so-called mother and father of most of the illnesses in our society. Expand on that, if you would.
Well, I will. And, you know, among other consequences, obesity leads to insulin resistance. And as we all know, a compromised immune system, I mean, it leads to a compromised immune system as well as cardiovascular disease. But when we don't control our insulin resistance, and our ability to metabolize glucose is out of control, that leads to the store of fat. It also leads to periodontal disease and diabetes. And so those are some really dental and oral health related issues, which again make it easy to justify having this discussion with your patients.
You know, we also see in our patients, I've been in practice 34 years and 30 years in my own office. I was in the military for a while. But I've seen my patients grow obese, and then we call it the triangle of death. They become hypertensive, and then they become diabetic. And then a whole cascade of things happen after that. And we sit here and watch it, and it's very frustrating, and it's very disturbing. You know, we care about these people. So I'm very, very interested in this. It's a very disturbing part of my day to witness this and not do anything. Danny, what I'd like you to do is to specifically tell us, how do we deliver this care to our patients? I think I understand a little better now the why, but the how. Let's get back to that.
Sure.
What are some things that we can do concretely to reverse this?
Sure. And I share your frustration, and I think, because a lot of, when you hold a jewel in your hand and people will not let you open your hand to see it or take it from you, it's particularly frustrating, because it's not just that we are throwing advice at people. We actually, when you adopt these protocols especially, you have the means to help them. And so, as I'd mentioned, the real key here is adopting the protocols is pretty simple matter. It's the communication to get people to say yes to your offering that makes all the difference. But specifically, the offering entails offering a portion-controlled meal replacement as one of the pillars, a educational resource library called what I call the Habits of Health, and I think most important, a health coach. In November of 2011, the New England Journal of Medicine published an article which showed conclusively and statistically robust findings that people who, they compared different groups, groups that went on a simple diet, groups that had a series of tools and resources, and a group that had those two items as well as a personal coach acting as their advocate. And far and away, the group with the coach succeeded at not only at achieving more greater weight loss over a shorter period, but sustaining that weight loss. You know that 85% of people that successfully achieve a healthy weight will regain it within the next 2 years. And that's basically a yo-yo diet phenomenon, and I'm sure that many of our listeners can relate to that. So the three keys are, just to summarize, the portion-controlled meal replacements, the resource library, and the health coach. Now, when a lot of people hear that, they think, well, gee, health coaching. This is what I thought. I thought, because I have background in personal training, I thought, well, I've got a busy, successful business. Where am I going to find time to coach people at the same time? Because my mindset was, as with a personal trainer or maybe with a hygienist or a dentist, when you're coaching people, you're physically in front of them. You know, in my case, you're making sure they're doing push-ups correctly or whatever the exercise might be. The remarkable thing about this is that simply having them know that you're there as an advocate, and this is especially important at the beginning, where you explain the program to them, they know that they're there if they need you, and the amount of actual contact is so little that I almost feel guilty. And I would feel guilty if people weren't getting the results. But I'll follow up with my clients every couple of weeks, and more often than not, the response is a friendly, don't call me, I'll call you. I'm doing fine. I'll let you know if I need you. And just, I can tell you in 60 seconds what the program entails. The program entails eating every 3 hours, approximately. So it's the science of nutrition is frequent, lower calorie, energy, nutritionally dense meals that have a high fullness factor or measure high on the satiety index are very important. So you consume these meals every 3 hours or so. The patient is shown, the client patient, is encouraged how to adopt healthy sleep habits. They're encouraged to drink a lot of water throughout the day, because 30% of the time when people think they're hungry, they're actually thirsty, and water has a lot of other salubrious benefits, like helping with your metabolism and increasing your resting metabolism. And that is it, folks. Now, a lot of people then will say, well, do I need to be on this meal replacement protocol for the rest of my life? And the answer is absolutely not. I view the meal replacements as a catalyst or as a set of training wheels or a scaffold or whatever analogy you want to use to help people overcome the inertia that is obviously besetting them at this time, that's keeping them from moving toward a healthy weight. People in general, and I think Americans in particular, are impatient, and they want a quick gratification result or response. And if you implement this program correctly, we can get people into the ketosis or fat-burning stage within a matter of days, and they can literally and safely burn up to 5 pounds of fat a week, which is far more than many of the literature even recommend is safe. Now, you don't do that indefinitely, but if you have someone that needs to lose 60, 80, 120 pounds or more, by simply adopting this 5-in-1 plan where you eat 5 of the portion control meal replacements and 1 lean and green meal, and we have recipes available that make it really easy to order in a restaurant or to prepare yourself, this person can literally lose up to 5 pounds a week. And people are amazed. That's why if you can just get them to say yes and get them to start on the path, they become self-motivated because they see the results, and sure, it's really gratifying to see.
It's fascinating. Danny, we're just about out of time. Great discussion. A lot of information here. How can our listeners learn more and best reach you?
Well, it was my pleasure, Wes. I enjoyed it as well. They can call, email, or visit the website. The telephone number is 312-455-9488. My email address, and I have a name like yours, so I'm going to spell it. It's dbobrow, D for Danny, B-O-B-R-O-W, at oralsystemichealth.com. Or they can visit the health coaching website, which is www.dannybobrow.tv. TSFL, that's short for Take Shape for Life, .com. DannyBobrow.TSFL.com.
All righty. Well, Danny, that was fabulous. I really enjoyed it. I know we talked a lot about this before we recorded. And on behalf of the Academy of General Dentistry, I really want to thank you for taking time out of your day and your week to impart this information to our members. They're going to enjoy this, and as I did, preparing for it and recording it. So thanks for being with us today.
The pleasure was mine, Wes. Thank you.